Here we are on Daf Chof Tes in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. And let's just remember where we got up to. So we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah said that there is a clear difference between the case of Chomet Shavala of a Pesach, when it's a Goy's Chomet Shavala of a Pesach, it's Mutter. And it doesn't say that it says it's Mutter Ba'ano. It doesn't say it's Mutter completely. And if it's a Jew's Chomet Shavala of a Pesach, it's Osir. And it gives the reason, apparently, for that, because it says, Lo yera elecha chametz. Weird. Anyway, we tried to figure out what the Mishnah was talking about. So we worked out that there are three different shitot that relate to the zmanim of the Isser Lav when it comes to the chametz. So we had, first of all, Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yehuda's shita, at least on the surface, was that both before Pesach and after Pesach, chometz is osur ba'achila and osur ba'anoa midiraisa. There is no chiyuv kores, but there's an isur diraisa. And then during Pesach, it's also not only osur with a law for achila and for hanoa, but it's also an isur kores. That was Rabbi Yehuda. And it also appeared very strongly that Rabbi Yehuda makes no distinction between a goy's chometz and a Jew's chometz, which sort of made the Mishnah impossible, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because that's the main point of the Mishnah, is that there is such a difference. Fine. Then we had Rabbi Shimon's shita. Now, Rabbi Shimon's shita was that there was no Isser Lav at all, not on a Jew and not on a Goy, after Pesach, or before Pesach, for that matter. We were focusing on after Pesach. And therefore, obviously, the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi Aglili was even worse, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili felt that there is no Isser Hana'ah, even during Pesach, on Chomet. So that left him completely out of the running here. Because the Mishnah was talking about an Isser Hana'ah even after Pesach, and that's completely out of the range, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So anyway, we had three sheets who couldn't figure out what in the world the Mishnah was saying, because it doesn't say it according to anybody. We don't know of any other shita. So last night, what we did was, I think we did, right? I want to review. I'm pretty sure that we did Rav Acher bar Yaakov, but let's just review it again. So on Rav Acher bar Yaakov, we're in the third line now of Daf Chof Tes, that actually the Mishnah does work out according to Rabbi Yehuda, and there is a subtext in Rabbi Yehuda which actually the Mishnah points to, and you didn't understand it. Rabbi Yehuda, even though he didn't say anything in terms of the Beferish Alav, doesn't say anything, a difference between a Jew and a Goy, but that's the whole point that the Mishnah is making when it says, Lo yera elecha chametz. The meaning of that is that we are comparing the Lo yera elecha to the Isra of Achila. And just like when it comes to the Lo yera etz lecha, that is, Shel cha I ataro ev ataro eshel ha'akum, Shalacherim, which is Akum, and Shalhegdish, for that matter, which we're going to talk about soon. But the Mishnah is pointing to the fact that that's why a chometz of a goy is mutter. That's exactly what it says. It works out great according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the end of the Mishnah is explaining why, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a difference between chimtzo shel nochri and chimtzo shel Yisrael. So, perfect. That's the approach of Rav Acher bar Yaakov. And taking that approach to its logical end leaves us with a few loose strings over here. Because, I mean, if you take it to its logical end, it would mean that it's not only mutter b'hana'ah, but that you could even eat the chometz of a nochri after Pesach. So why did the Mishnah say it's only mutter b'hana'ah? Okay, that we explained away by saying it doesn't mean it's only mutter b'hana'ah, but it was coming to contrast the chometz of the Jew with chometz of the Goy. And since the chiddush of the chometz of the Jew was that it's osur b'hana'ah, so it said that the Goy's is mutter b'hana'ah. But the truth is, it's actually mutter b'achila. And the truth is that the limud, once we're going to compare it to bar yera'eh, so then that's not only for after Pesach, that's even true during Pesach. So how come it only talks about the chometz of a goy after Pesach? And what if I would be nene from the chometz of a goy during Pesach? And according to Rashi, even if I ate the chometz of a goy during Pesach, if there was some way it could still remain the goy's while I eat it, which Tosis points out is a little bit difficult to work out logistically, but in any event, I mean, theoretically speaking, we could have been talking about during Pesach itself, so why the heck did the Mishnah focus on after Pesach? It could have said a much bigger Chiddush. Yes, true. But again, the primary focus of the Mishnah is on Yisrael, and it was coming to tell me the Chiyuvim on Yisrael. And so therefore, it was talking about the difference between the Chiyuv Karas or the non-Chiyuv Karas after Pesach for the Yisrael. So it mentioned, oh, and by the way, whatever you can't do for the Yisrael, you could do for the Yaakov, which the Chiddush of the Yisrael was Hana even after Pesach. So you should know that when it comes to the Yaakov, Mutter Bana after Pesach. But it's also Mutter Bachio during Pesach. Okay. Those were the only sort of loose strings, but otherwise it worked out really nice because it explained why we had that closing in the Mishnah so beautifully, which we had always thought, well, what could that possibly mean? Now it turns out it's exactly the point of why the Mishnah is going on Libra Buta. Okay, this is one approach. It's the approach of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Now, Rabbah today takes the other approach. So let's just see up until that point inside again, in case I didn't do it with you yesterday. So ma sa'or, which is av sa'or of re'ia, yishalchai ha'toreh v'al'toreh shalachir v'shal gavoh av sa'or da'achila, is also the same, yishalchai ha'toreh aval ha'toreh shalachir v'shal gavoh, and therefore, we really could have been discussing afilu achila nami, would also be shorty, except that I did a ton of Yisrael, Osir Bahana'ah, so because of that, we mentioned the Nochri's Mutar Bana. And the truth is, we could have even been discussing the din of Betoch Zmano. And that's true. But again, since the big Kiddush of the Mishnah was, I did a ton of Yisrael, La'achr Zmano, Tana Nami de Nochri, in the sense of Li'achr Zmano. But the truth is, if we wanted to make a Mishnah specifically about a Nochri, then obviously we would have made the big Kiddush in the Mishnah that the Chometz of a Nochri is Mutter during Pesach, Halibur Rebuta. That's all. Rava Amar. So today we start now with Rava's Shita, who is very different than Rav Acha bar Yaakov. He takes the opposite approach. And Rava says, no, actually, what's happening over here is that it's going on Libra Rabbi Shimon, and there is indeed no Isser whatsoever d'oraisa. Okay, and the assumption that you were making that this is all about the Lavim d'oraisa, it's wrong, because the real explanation of why it says at the end of the Mishnah this business about Bal Yera'eh, that is the justification for a knas that the Rabbanan made on him since he was over on Bal Yera'eh. That's in the end how Rabbah is going to explain the Mishnah. So again, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the meaning of the closing of the Mishnah of the Bal Yera'eh is to teach us about Shalcha Yataro'er, but you would be allowed for an Akum. According to Rabbah, the meaning of the reference to Bal Yera'eh is that, yes, indeed, we have been talking up until this point about a D'oraisa. However, now we're talking about a Knas that is based on the fact that the person must have kept this Chometz through Pesach. He still got it, right? So therefore, he was over on Bal Yera'eh, bad, bad boy. The Rabbanan gave him a Knas, and therefore it's Osir Bana. Completely different approach. That's how it's going to come out. Now let's just see inside how we get to this. Sorry, I meant Rava. I think I kept saying Rava, my mistake. So Rava Amar Leolam Rabbi Shimoni. Rabbi Shimon agrees that there is a knas because he was being over on Bal Yera'eh and Bal Yemetzei. Oh, man, that's beautiful. So that was, according to Rava, it really works out why the Mishnah says, Mishum Bal Yera'eh Bal Yemetzei. Aha. So Bishlem Ravani Tanisha Yisrael Asur Mishum Shinemar Lo Yera'eh. That's why it's Asur, because since the Torah said you're not supposed to have it during Pesach, how the heck did you keep it till after Pesach? Elul Rav Acha bar Yaakov. I don't understand. Well, what's the flow of the Mishnah when it says that the Chimta Shal Yisrael is Asur and the Chimta Shal Yaakov is Mutter Mishum Bal Yera'eh Bal Yemetzei? It should say it's Osir is what we're talking about. Mishum lo yeachel chametz mi boile. That was not the basis of the Israel, no? No. See, that's the whole point. You're assuming that those words were referring to the closing part of the Mishnah, which is Shel Yisrael is Osir. They weren't. They were going back on the Reisha, where it says Chimchel Shanochri Shavar Lava Pesach is Mutar Bana'ah. It's giving the reason for that. Why is it Mutar Bana'ah? Because it says Lo Yera Elechal Chametz Shalchay Ataroeh Ataroeh Shalachir Meshal Gavoa, and you're meant to understand that Reb Yehuda is Yolif, Misa Or Dachila, Misa Or Dereiya. So we have two very, very different approaches to the Mishnah, both in terms of who the Man D'Omer is, and of course, in terms of how to actually read the Mishnah. Are the closing words the giving the reason for why the Chimtzo Shal Yisrael is Osir Bana, which is what it appears to be saying, well, that's impossible, unless the Mishnah is going on Libra Rabbi Shimon, and then the closing words are explaining why the Rabbanan justified giving him a knas because of Ba'al Yira Abaye Matzeh. Or are the closing words Ba'al Yira Abaye Matzeh referring to the opening words of the Mishnah about why the Chimtza Shel Akum is mutter because we compare it to Lo Yera Elecha, which is Matir Chametz Shel Akum. And in that case, the author of the Mishnah, in fact, would be Rabbi Yehuda, where otherwise it would have been an Issur D'oraisa on all Chametz, comes along Ba'al Yera to teach me not on the Chametz of an Akum. Okay, great. So we've got two different approaches, and the Gemara points out that Rava and Rav Acha bar Yaakov are consistent in the way that they take these two approaches. They are consistent in this because take a look at this machlokas, and you'll see that it's exactly the same idea. We want to know what would be the halacha of somebody who eats a goy's chametz that was, it's after Pesach now, and this was goy's chametz, it was over a love of Pesach. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold about that? Rava says he would get malchus, exactly, because Rava understands that the Mishnah that says Chimtza Shel Akum is mutter is Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no basis for differentiation between the chametz of an Akum and the chametz of Yisrael. So, great, this is exactly what Rava said over here. Rav Acha bar Yaakov is also consistent. He says, no, the Mishnah is actually Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you don't get malchus. And Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Chimtza Shel Akum is mutter after Pesach. Why? Because Yoliv Sa'ar de Achila, Misa'ar de Re'iyah. Now, it turns out that as beautiful as this works out, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, in Rav Yehuda, Rav Acha bar Yaakov clearly changed his mind. And he had charata from this approach. He now does not believe any longer that the Mishnah is going aliba to Rav Yehuda, and that there's a difference between chametz of a goy and chametz of a Jew, not after Pesach, not during Pesach. It's all the same halacha. How do we know that he had charata? Well, it's a long story, frankly, and we'll get to the story, end of the story on Amud Beis. But meanwhile, it involves us in some really interesting variations on the theme. Because remember, if we do darshan that the Lo Yera Elecha is the basis of the Mishnah, and that's the reason that it's mutter when it comes to the goy, then we need to consider what the similar situation would be for Hegdash. Because remember, the Shalchai HaTaro Ed does not only preclude the chametz of a goy from your being able to keep it in your rishus and stuff like that, right? It also excludes chimtzer shel gavoa. So something that belongs to Hegdash is not included in the iser of Ba'al Yera Ed. So if you learn that we're going to make this comparison between Ba'al Yera Et to the Yisra of Achila, then it would mean that there would be no din of Chometz Shavar Lava Pesach on Chometz of Hegdash. And furthermore, it would mean even during Yontif, there's no Yisra of Chometz Shal Hegdash. Now that has some very fascinating implications, because when it comes to Hegdash, we're going to have to determine what should be done in a case where somebody, in fact, stole chametz, misused chametz from Hegdash, and he would then normally, under normal circumstances, if it was during the year, so if this was done b'shogeg, so then the halacha would be that he would be ma'al, so he would have to bring a carbon me'ila, and he would have to pay back the extra chomesh, which is all part of the dinim of me'ila, right? But if Hegdash is violated and there was no hana'ah, meaning no measurable value to the hana'ah, it has to be a shavapruta. If there was no value to the me'ila, then there is no chiyav of payment. And if there's no chiyav of payment, then there's also no chiyav of a carbon. That we learn out from the comparison of the pasuk, in which case the dinim of me'ila would not apply. So it turns out that we can actually predict that the machlokas between Rava and Rav Acha bar Yaakov as to whether the dinim of Ba'al Yera'eh have any impact on the Isser of Achila and Hana, which we never thought of, mind you, until now, right? It's like a brand new approach. We always thought there were two different issues when it comes to Pesach. There was the question of not eating chametz, not being nenem from chametz. And then there was the whole tashbih to get rid of your chametz with the question of bayir or bayimah. This is the first time in the whole Masechet that we've thought of the fact that, you know what? It may even be that they're interrelated. And maybe if there's no bayir, there's not even an issue of achilas chametz. Whoa. Okay, but now that would mean that we'd have to analyze what the implications of that type of theory would be on chametz of Hegdash during Yontif. Does it have value or doesn't it have value? Now, I must warn you that there's a complicating factor. And the complicating factor is that the question of the status of the value of the Hegdash is not necessarily dependent only on the question of the current heter achila, which would mean the question of whether there's a bal yera'eh bal yematzeh even during Yontif. It might have to do simply with the fact that if you hold of Rabbi Shimon, there is no iser after Pesach at all on chametz. There may be an iser on somebody who kept his own chametz, but there's certainly not going to be an iser on somebody who kept Hegdish's chametz, where there's no iser keeping Hegdish's chametz, because shelcha ta ro'eh v'lata ro'eh shel gavoa, right? Now, so how does that matter? But currently, it's Pesach, and currently, it certainly is Aser if we don't have the comparison between the Baal Yerah of Re'iyah and the Yisrachila. It still makes a big difference. I'll tell you why. Because even during Yontif, we're currently, if we don't darshan the connection to Baal Yerah, we're currently the Chomech of Hegdash is Aser Bahana'a, right? True. But keep this same chametz around for another 7 days, and what's the gizbar going to do with it? I'll tell you what he's going to do with it. He's going to sell it and make a lot of money. Because since it was Hegdash's chametz, there was no issur of keeping it around, no problem of utilizing it after Pesach, and therefore after Pesach it goes back to its market value, correct? Now, you could argue that something that does not have current market value, the fact that, okay, great, but you destroyed Hegdash, which was going to have market value, so effectively you caused a loss to Hegdash. Now, Torah doesn't say anything about causing losses for Me'ila, correct? There's no din of causing losses in the Torah. The only place that we have a concept of payment in torts is not for causing. It's because it's your animal. It's a completely different issue. A grumma, if it's just a plain grumma, remember, this is one of the fundamental differences in terms of the Torah's approach to damages and the civil approach to damages. Daniil, please mute. Causality is not the point. It's your moment that's the point, and only that. So therefore, to say, well, I mean, listen, I caused Hegdash $100,000 worth of damage by taking away their chametz. Okay. Torah didn't say you're chayiv on causing, but there's another complicating factor here. And that is some object which has ultimate value may be defined currently by that value. Because, I mean, it's all very nice to say, okay, but currently it has no value. And what is that supposed to mean? And if somebody wanted to buy an option to be able to get $100,000 worth of chametz for $50,000? So I understand the option is not innate in the chametz, but possibly the concept of value may extend to something which has in it inherent ultimate value. That is called the Dover HaGorem Lamamon. And the chiyuv of it would not be because it caused. It would be if you hold that a Dover HaGorem Lamamon is Mamon, then you actually cause damage currently to Hegdash by taking away that chametz. That would be the point. So we have that complicating factor as well to take into consideration, that the ultimate dispensation of the chametz may actually define its current value. So this is much more complex because we've got a lot of new elements that we didn't have to consider when we were talking about the chimtzar shel nochri. There's another complicating factor. The other complicating factor is this. If I do hold that the chometz of the Hegdash is actually mutter bahana'a, I still have to determine exactly how it is that I'm going to be nene from it. Am I going to use it as dog food? That's a whole problem. can you be poda hegdish for dog food? Remember, we had this question before, and some learn out from the pasuk of the akalta that it's dafka, not for dog food. You can't sell it to a goy. You can't use it for dog food. What are you going to do with it? So then, if you don't tell dovergram lamaman is kamaman, it's all very nice to say theoretically it's mutar bana, but there's no way for you to actually have been able, Kegish couldn't have sold this thing because it's not usable. They can't sell it to a goy. They can't sell it for dog food. And therefore, there's no use that's going to be mutter to be made of it. That's the question that further complicates matters. Now, keeping all of that in mind, let us take a look at the different ways that we're going to analyze the issue of me'ila for hegdish in the case of chametz. So, the Tanya. Somebody goes ahead and he eats chametz of hegdish during Pesach. It's a machlokas. The Tanakhama says he's moel, and others say yesh omrim lo ma'al. Now, here's the big question. Who are the yesh omrim that you're not moel? And here's where we get into all of our explanations. This is amazing. Rabbi Yochanan comes totally out of left field and says, I'll bet you guys are thinking about whether chometz is mutter bana and all of that kind of stuff. Waste of time. It's very simple. The guy who ate the chometz on Pesach is going to be chai of kares. Now the question is, if you simultaneously do something which is machayev you kares and causes monetary loss, are you responsible for payment of monetary loss? So let's talk about if it would be machayev you misa, okay? So here you are on Shabbos and you decide you're finally going to burn down your neighbor's home. He's been driving you nuts. You burn down his house on Shabbos. And the question is, do you have to pay for the house? No. You don't have to pay for the house because come Leben Rabbi Mina, you were over on an Iser Misa. So therefore, it's a great time to burn down your neighbor's home. Now, how about if you did that on Yom Kippur? Perfect day. I mean, it's time for a kapora. This guy needs a serious kapora. So we burn down his house on Yom Kippur. Would I be chayev? Now, that's a machlokas because on Yom Kippur, it's not a chayev of Misa. It's a chayev of Kores. Is a chayev of Kores the equivalent of the chiyuv of Misa? Says Rabbi Yochanan, well, look, according to Rabbi Nochunya ben Akana, somebody who burns down a house on Yom Kippur is potter. So by the same token, somebody who would eat chametz during Pesach, which is kores, would be potter on payment for the chametz. In which case, that would explain why there's no me'ila, because the person does not have to pay his chomesh, and therefore when you're potter from the chomesh, you're also potter from the korban me'ila, so everything adds up perfectly. Don't even trouble your little head about implications for isurei chomesh. That's not the issue over here. By the way, it's just very cute that it's this week's parsha that is the basis of this discussion, believe it or not. Because the mocker in the Torah that you're potter because of kimle bin rabamine is the case of the men that were fighting and one of them bashes a woman who's pregnant and kills her her embryos. And so over there, there's the question, what if he killed her? And that was the whole sugya of the mechavin la'rogazeh v'horogazeh. So, but it says in the pasuk, im lo yeh ason anosh yanesh. So imloi yasro means if there was no death involved of the mother, and therefore he was not over on Ritzicha, then Anoshi Anesh shall have to pay for the Velodais, the made Velodais. But if there was an Asan, so then clearly he does not pay for the Velodais. Why? Because it is subsumed in the greater Onesh of the Chiyuv of Misa. So as Rashi explains it, if you hold like Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, so then the point is that if the chiyuv of Kores, this is Rashi Lashita, so the chiyuv of Kores would always involve the loss of his children. But the loss of children is called in this week's parsha a son. Because Yaakov Avinu says, no, I'm afraid to send Binyamin pen Yikru'u a son, right? So you see, Imloi a son, isn't that adorable? So Imloi a son means that it would also be a chiyuv of Kores. Okay, very, very sweet. But in any event, that it would explain the whole sugya without getting us into Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and everything would be great. Okay. Therefore, I say that's the easiest way to do it. Rabbi Yosef says, no. It's much more complicated than that. Now, when you go back to Rabbi Chodi ben Akona, the idea over here is that the machlokas is, can you actually be poda this hegdash or not? And that's what the problem is. So he's saying, look, If, in fact, you would have held like Rabbi Shimon over here, who holds that it's osir b'hana'ah, it isn't worth a penny. But we're not going like Rabbi Shimon or like Rabbi Yehuda. We're going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds it's mutter b'hana'ah. So now the only question is there any way to extract that hana'ah? Right? If there's no way to extract the hana'ah, then Kaddish can't make any money on it, and therefore there's no me'ilah. So how would I normally extract the hana'ah? By being poda the hekdesh. But the question is, can you be poda hekdesh where you are not going to be able to eat it? Because over there it says v'achalta. What are you going to do with it? You can't sell it to a goy, because that's all included in the iser of tizbach and not for anything else. So it says, we learn that tizbach v'lo giza, and then v'achalta basar v'lo chalav, and then v'achalta v'lo leklavim, and we said v'achalta, you can't sell it to a goy either. So it's not worth anything, and l'maisa, nobody's going to buy it. And that would be the question. So mind your mamal, if you hold that it was actually taking something away from Hekdesh, it's because you obviously hold prodina takodashim lahachilam leklavim, and that you would in fact be able to extract anah from it, so you got to pay, because it was actually valuable on the marketplace. Whereas Mandi Amar Loma al Tanakam was saying there's no me'ila. That's because they hold in Podin as Hakachim Achil on the Klavi. Okay, so far we've got two explanations for the Machlokas. Here's the third. Rav Acha Bar Rava, he says, that's not what Rav Yosef said. You got it wrong. He says over Mishbeda Rav Yosef in the following Lashon, which takes a completely different approach, in which everybody agrees. And the question is the other issue that we discussed. Since ultimately this is valuable to Hekdesh, because after Pesach, for sure they're going to be able to sell it, right? You can use it for anything. I mean, it's completely mutter, because there's no iser even on achila, because after all, nobody was over on Bayira, Bayimatze, and therefore, why would there be an iser? According to Rabbi Shimon, there's no iser at all. Well, according to this Lashon, that's what we were going according to. Not Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but rather Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, the chometz will have its full value right after Pesach. So the question only is, okay, but I mean, all you did was cause the loss of Hekdesh, and you're not chayav for causing a loss. Ah, but then we get into the issue of whether something that has inherent value that is needs to be waited for, whether since this itself is the source of that ultimate value, does that give it a current level of momon? So that's the machlokas. Everybody agrees. The only machlokas is a davar hagorem lamomon, the equivalent of momon. Again, do not mistake this as meaning, is it chayev for causing a loss the same way for doing a loss? No, that's not the point. The point here is the definition of value. So if you're telling me that davar hagorem lamomon is in fact momon itself, so then you took money away from Hekdesh. So Mandi Amar Mog, so Davar Gam Lomomot is Kimomon. Mandi Amar Lomomot says, look, currently there is no innate value, and therefore there is zero value. I don't care about the fact that ultimately that's just the Grama Bialma, but it doesn't define current value. And Davar Gam Lomomot is Lav Kimomon Dami. That explains the whole thing. Okay, so far we have three explanations, and we have not as yet gotten to how do we know that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov changed his mind. Here's how we know. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov gives us the fourth explanation of the machlokes about whether you would be moel or not. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, listen, I think it's really very different. Everybody agrees that a davar hagorem lamomon is kemomon dami. But the question is, so what? Because the machlokes over here is beplukta the Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon kamiflegeh. We're arguing over here if you say lo ma'al. So if you say lo ma'al, so then you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, even after Pesach, there's an Isser D'Oraisa. Koshi came now in the middle of Pesach, there's an Isser D'Oraisa of Hanah. It's worth nothing. What are you talking to me about? But it's Hekdesh. I mean, Hekdesh. Where does the Torah make a difference in eating and having Hanah from Chometz because it's Hekdesh? That's crazy. It's only about Ba'ayera Ba'ayematzeh that we saw that. Nobody holds that. Nobody holds that. This is Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. I don't understand. He was the one who said that whole wonderful approach, right? That we, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you got to be nuts to say something like that. What just happened? So here we go with Rav Acha bar Yaakov is saying that no, that's the whole point. The machlok is whether you're old of Rabbi Yehuda or whether you're old of Rabbi Shimon. If you say lo mal, it's because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it isn't worth a single a red cent. Whereas if you hold that you are mo, because according to Rabbi Shimon, there was only a gezera derabbanan of chomer shav alav pesach. And obviously, when you're talking about hegdish, where nobody did anything wrong because you're allowed to keep hegdish, then everybody's mo. Shachoya taroya avala taroya shel gavoa. So then after Pesach, it's going to be valuable. Okay, so that Mandi Amar holds. Since both of us hold over here, Kuleyam holds, Dovra Garm Lomomim is Kamom and Dummy. So then if you hold of Rabbi Shimon, this is a case of Dovra Garm Lomomim. Now, this is totally nuts. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, he was the one who actually was Mechadish, this brilliant idea that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be a difference between Chometz Shel Hegdish after Pesach. Because he was the one who said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're Yoliv Sardachi, let me Sardaria. Oh, gee whiz. Just when we're getting used to this wonderful idea, apparently he changed his mind. Can't trust anybody nowadays. Elohaner bei Rav Acha bar Yaakov mi'ahi. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov no longer sticks with that approach. That's our raya. Meanwhile, we managed to examine beautifully all of the variations on the theme about the question of what the status would be, l'gabi chimtzo shel hegdish, except that we have one more approach that clicks in afterwards, because we no longer are examining this for the purpose of the proof of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, which is completed. But once we're at it, Rav Ashi says, I have a different approach. Okay, I say that actually kulei ama ain't podin, and you wouldn't be able to be poda this for klovim. And I also say davar gam lamam and lav kamam and dami. It's a very simple machlokas over here. The machlokas is whether there is an iser or not of hanah. That's the machlokas. So achav pluktid Rabbi Yosi Aglili v'rabbanan kamiflagay. Mandi amar ma'al holds like Rabbi Yosi because there is no iser hanah. And if there is no iser hanah, so then there is no necessity of being paid this for a goy or being paid this for a doggy, because according to Rav Ashi, once there is no Isra Hana, remarkably, you could be paid it for yourself and put it into your oven as fuel. Now, Tosef asks the obvious kasha. What? What do you mean? We never entertained that, because if you would be poted yourself, then at that moment it becomes yours, right? So if it becomes yours, so then it's usser. And then we're back to where we started from. So nobody would be poted. So then that means that it isn't worth anything. I don't get it. Therefore, Tosfos derives from here an amazing chiddush, which is that we have to look at the din of Baal Yera'eh and Baal Yematzeh as being a lav hanitak la'aseh. Because the mitzvah of tashbitu se'or mi batechem is there in order to tell you, okay, what do you do when you have chometz that you're not supposed to be seeing and not supposed to be keeping your rishos? You're supposed to be getting rid of that chometz. Fine. So then if you would be poted the chometz in order to get rid of the chometz, of course it happens to be that you're getting rid of the chometz by making this gigantic fire in your oven, which you're going to use to bake matzahs with, but whatever. So then that would be perfectly okay. Apparently, says the Rebbe, because otherwise the Gemara doesn't make any sense. You still have no options. Fascinating. There's a lot of discussion about this Tosfos, but anyway, this is one of the implications over here of Rav Ashi. The machlokas, therefore, is very straightforward. Mandi amar ma'al, kribyosi, mandi amar lo ma'al, kirabonan, and everything is fine. And that concludes the issue of Chometz Shel Hegdish of Pesach and its implications for the Akum, for the Yisrael, and the three different shitas that we have about what the status is, the Gabi Surah Noi, Surah Chila, and Dinim of Chorus when it comes to the various lavim and the also understanding of the various psukim that are involved with all of the extra dinim about the chiyav of matzah and it's kibikovei chova and the question of machmetzet ayete davar acher, all of these beautiful little things that crept in along the way. Meanwhile, we also learned about Pesach Mitzrayim and the Yisra of Achilas Chametz in Pesach Mitzrayim. Now, the next step that we have to think about is what happens if chometz gets mixed in to something else. So is chometz bottle the way things are normally bottle, or are we particularly machmer when it comes to chametz? And this involves us in a couple of different issues, because remember that there's overall a very fundamental machlokas about dinim of bittul, which would apply here as well. Is there a difference between something that is min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino, or is it all the same? Remember that the concept of a taroves, asering, is the question of the detectability within the taroves, right? So we usually take 1 in 60, because we figure, okay, we're not going to always be able to ask a food expert, could you, this is called the kapila nuchra, could you please taste this for me and tell me if you can identify any taste of chazer in this? You know, so this guy's a connoisseur. He'll tell you, yep, definitely includes chazer. Okay, so it's usher. But if he says, nope, I don't taste any chazer. Okay, so it's mutter. So you say, well, how could it be mutter? We know that they put chazer in it. Yes, but it's not detectable. If it's not detectable, the Torah allows us to be mevatel. Since it's pretty difficult to get that level of connoisseurship, generally speaking, so what we do is we say, look, usually, unless it's something that is a specific taste giver, and then indeed the din of shishim doesn't apply, if it's like spices, or if it's a specific ingredient, a commercial ingredient, such as an emulsifier, or if it would be a leavening agent, which chametz would not be in that proportion, a small proportion. So it's a leavening agent, or it's a coloration agent. Any of those modern issues would not be bottle because they're detectable through other means, not through taste, but through detecting the gel. It's a little bit of gelatin goes a long way. It's not going to be echad b'shishim. It could be echad in 300 or whatever, but the gelling effect is still there. Same thing would be true about leavening agents sometimes. Okay, so that is the question. Now, the problem is when it comes to taste, if you have two things that are exactly the same taste, what do we mean when you say you can detect the taste? I mean, maybe you can't really detect the taste of this because you're detecting the taste of the other ingredient, the main ingredient, or you could say just the opposite. How could a taste ever be bottle in itself? All it does is strengthen its taste. It doesn't become less of a taste, so it's added to the full molecular impact of whatever it is that's causing this taste, right? So this is a big machlokas. And the question is whether min b'mino is more chomer and never batel, because of the fact that you cannot really view it as batel. Now, I have to be honest with you and tell you that that is a great oversimplification. The reason that it's a great oversimplification is because it is not at all clear. Uh-oh, I better take a drink. The nemesis has arrived. So the reason it's not so clear is because the din of min b'mino may not be defined by taste. The din of min b'mino, there's actually big machlokas about whether we could define it by its name or whether we could define it by its state of iser. This is a major, major sugya. But let us allow ourselves to oversimplify for the sake of this daf, just to get through the issues over here. Now, when it comes to chometz, so obviously we're going to have our standard concerns. Min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino. If you hold min b'mino is going to always be usher b'mashu, then wow, we've got a big problem, because if chometz would fall into anything that's the same kind, it'll usher the whole mess. And by the way, we're also oversimplifying because there are different types of mixtures. Obviously, there are mixtures where there is no mixture of taste, right? I mean, like, you've got kosher Pesach matzah and non-kosher Pesach matzah, and the different boxes of matzah fall into each other. It has nothing to do with taste. So that's a further question, min b'mino being bottle or not. It wouldn't have anything to do with no sintam. So again, we're very, very simplifying this into a question where you've got actual chametz mixing into the actual other chametz, either with a lach b'lach or a yovesh b'yovesh kind of mixture where it's a flour that's mixing into another flour and so on. Fine. So let's take a look at the simple machlokas on the surface. So Rav says, look, it's very simple. If you've got chametz that is actually bismano, where there's an iser koris, That's very serious. And it's doubly serious because chametz is not something that people take all that seriously because they don't pay much attention to it since it's something you take for granted. It's the air that you breathe all year round, and therefore lo bodel inish minei. So the likelihood of these events occurring and of people, oh, yeah, all right, fine. Now, because of that, I'm going to be more machber. So if it's bismano, and bismano we've got an iser kares, so then I would say whether the chametz fell into mino or fell into shalom amino, it's otzer. Now, this is not much of a statement because you didn't tell me how much. All you said was it's otzer. I don't know whether you're talking about echad b'shishim, you're talking about even a mashu. That is going to require still a lot of work over here. What do you mean? But okay, it's otzer. If it's shalom bismano, so I'm talking about chomet she'ovar lava pesach. So then only if it falls into mino is it otzer. Again, how much? I have no idea. Shalom amino would be completely mutter. So the Gemara said, well, what kind of statement is that? It's so vague. What are you talking about? B'maya skina. Are you talking about benotein tam? So you're saying, I can actually taste it, and it's less than echad b'shishim. So you're saying, if chomet she'ovar alav ha-pesach, meaning shalom bizmano, it falls into something else. It falls into shalom b'mino. So now it falls into a cup of soda. And now I'm tasting this chomet she'ovar alav ha-pesach. There's some cookie in this soda. I understand. Why is that mutter? I thought we learn out from the Torah. Well, it's machlokes, whether it's from the Torah, the Rabbana, but whether something that is no Saint Tom is usher. So then it is no Saint Tom. And if you're talking about bimashahu, you don't mean no Saint Tom. You mean the fact of the existence of the chometz in the mixture, even though it's not detectable. So then I don't understand the other part. So you're saying, chometz bizmano bein bemino bein shelo bemino, what you would, the din should be that it's always osur. That's why, I mean, I don't get how we're making this distinction over here. So here's how it is that we're going to explain the issues. It turns out that chometz we're going to be learning in is a very special way. So it's got to be b'mashu. And here's what we're claiming. If it's b'mashu, there's a reason why chometz bizmano will be usher even shelo b'mino. And what is that? Because chometz bizmano bein b'mino shelo b'mino is usher, and Rav over here is going l'shitato and a little bit beyond. First of all, what's his shita? Well, his shita is the same as Shmuel's. Rav and Shmuel both agree, forget about chometz. Any usher in the Torah is always going to be usher, b'mino b'mashu. Normally, shalom b'mino would be b'no Saint Tam. So why then does Rav extend his shita to include chometz even shalom b'mino b'mashu? Rav gazar chometz bizmano shalom b'mino. Since it's bizmano and there's an isser kores, so Rav was gozer that chometz if it was even detectable. And it's not a no Saint Tom, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be osur. But if it's shalom bizmano, where there is no isur kares, so then he goes back to the standard halacha. Bemino, yes, amashu is osur, but that's because he holds of Rabbi Yehuda, the chomet she'ovar alav ha-pesach is osur even after Pesach. And therefore, it's like anything else in the Torah that's osur. It's not an isur kares, but all things osur in the Torah are osur as long as they are in the bimino, even a mashu. Shalom bimino would be, however, it would be mutter. So if it's a mashu, it's not going to be a problem. And shalom bimino, therefore, would be mutar. Why? Because he's not gozer. The shalom bizmano, the shalom bimino, atumino, kulei lo gazrino. He's not going to go so far as to say, well, I was gozer, shalom bimino, atumino, when it was mano, when it's a chorus, so therefore I might as well go the whole way and make the same gazera when it's shalom bizmano, when it's not an isser chorus. I'm not going to go that far. So even though it is an isser diraisa, kulei lo gazrino, I'm not going to be that machmer on chomet she'ovar alav ha-pesach. So the only reason I was so machmer was because there were two issues that bothered me. One was the chiyuv of karis, and the other one was the fact that people are not bottoming. I understand that it's still true that nobody's paying much attention after Pesach to the problem of chometz, but listen, it's not an isser karis. I don't think it requires kulei high to make a gezeirah. Now let's take a look at Shmuel. Shmuel says, Now, we know that Shmuel agrees in the fundamental idea. We just said Shmuel agrees that normally things are aser min b'mino, b'mashu, and shalo b'mino, they're only aser b'nais in time. That's his opinion. He agrees with Rav. So then how do we explain his shita? Well, it's very simple. Obviously, Shmuel did not make the gezera. That's all. So therefore, chometz bizmano b'mino is aser, and shalo b'mino is mutter, and shalo bizmano, I say it's completely mutter under any and all circumstances. That needs some explanation. Okay, so let's take Shmuel step by step. Chometz bizmano b'mino aser. Yes, we know why already, because we already learned that Shmuel agrees with Rav. There's a Shmuel shitate, because Rav and Shmuel both agreed that forget about chometz, any iser in the Torah that is mixed b'mino is going to be aser b'mashu. Shalom b'mino is b'no sin tam. So it's exactly the same thing true over here. I'm not going to aser b'mashu on chometz more than anything else. Now you'll tell me, man, why don't you make a gezerah? Shalom b'mino atamino lo gezer. So Shmuel doesn't hold that we make a gezerah, and he keeps chametz as part of the general dinim of bittul. B'mino mashum, shalom b'mino b'nosin tam. So, yeah, but how do you explain the fact that he says there's no problem at all after Pesach? Very simple. Because shalom b'zmano, ben b'mino ben shalom b'mino is mutter, there he holds like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that chametz is not usher after Pesach. Now, of course, we know that Rabbi Shimon was gozer. Fine, the Gemara later on will explain why that's not an issue. But right now, he is holding like Rabbi Shimon and not like Rabbi Yehuda, and that accounts for the difference between Rav and Shmuel's second problem, second machlokas, which is what's the din la'achar Pesach. As to the first machlokas between them, as to whether there's a din of bitol b'noi sein tam, that in the case where it's shalom b'minam, that's a question of whether there is a gezerah like Rav, or there's no gezerah like Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't agree with either. I say that chometz bizmano, bein bemino, bein shalo bemino, is only usser benotein tam. There's no such thing as a mashu being usser. And shalo bizmano, if you're talking about afterwards, doesn't matter then at all. Bein beminan, bein shalo beminan is mutter. Okay, now we need to understand a completely new approach of Rabbi Yochanan. Why is he saying this? Well, let's take it step by step. Chometz bizmano, bein b'mino, bein shalom b'mino, b'no sin tam. This is a fundamentally different approach to bittul all over Shas. And this is Rabbi Yochanan following his famous shita, in which he agrees with Rish Lakish, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish tamre tavayo, that as opposed to Rav and Shmuel, who both have taken an approach, there's a difference between min b'mino and min shalom b'mino, we disagree with that. And all Yisurim in the Torah are no different, whether it's b'minan or shalo b'minan. There is one din of bittul, and that is b'notein tam, or the concentration that would have been b'notein tam, assuming that you would have been able to detect it. And so that, we took a standard. I mean, obviously, in the Gemara Chulam, we start talking about different things within other things, but we ended up taking a standard. And the standard was our famous batul b'shishim idea, right? Okay. So therefore, chometz is like anything else, as far as I'm concerned. There's no difference between minan, lo b'minan. There's no concept of a mashu ever being usher. It's only where it's been usher tam. And in the case it would be min b'mino, that would be achas b'shishim. Mashu enke with shalo b'mizmano. In that, I agree that we're going like Rabbi Shimon. And since, according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no such thing as an isser of chometz shavala v'pesach midiraisa, so therefore, there's no problem, and it's batal, and it's not going to be usher at all. Now, as to why it is that we don't care about the isser derabbanan, in the end, it's going to turn out that if you hold a Rabbi Shimon, which is what these last two shitas, whether we're going like Shmuel or whether we're going like Rabbi Yochanan, that even though Rabbi Shimon was gezer on the actual chometz shavala v'pesach, it turns out that there was no gezera that would usher mixtures of chometz that were over Alayim HaPesach. Fine, okay. That is a very nogea issue, Bizman HaZeh, where you may have places that are selling chometz shavala v'pesach. Is there a difference between the mixture as opposed to the actuality? Because most products, if the people didn't sell their chometz, would have a problem of tarovis chometz shavala v'pesach. Fine, all of this we'll discuss, not discussing the inyanim la'halacha tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.